Hello, and welcome to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman.
Hello, and welcome to the Autodidactic Podcast, Season 2, Episode 11. Before we begin, I would like to do a little self-promotion and tell you about my other activities online. I have a YouTube channel, and I'll put a link in the show notes, as well as a number of books, both fiction and non-fiction. I'll also put some links for these in the show notes. So if you want to see the links or the transcripts of any of these podcasts, you can find them all on my website at https://autodidactic.info. Right, let's get on with the show. This week I'm going to be talking about a not-so-famous mathematician, a person very few people will have heard of, and who, even during his lifetime, was considered an oddball and an eccentric. A self-trained English mathematician and the pioneer of electromagnetic theory. You may not have heard of his name, but you will have heard of some of the words he invented, such as impedance or inductance, especially if you work with or have a knowledge of electrics or electronics. Oliver Heaviside is the person I'm talking about. He was born on the 18th of May, 1850, to Rachel Elizabeth West and Thomas Heaviside in Camden Town, a notoriously crime-ridden low-class area of London. Thomas Heaviside was a woodworker, engraver, and watercolor artist. Oliver was the youngest of four sons. Oliver Heaviside had a challenging and troubled youth. The family lived for years on the ragged edge of poverty. Their home was just around the corner from where Charles Dickens had lived during his most miserable period of childhood. Life in the slums was difficult enough, but a childhood bout of scarlet fever, which left Oliver Heaviside nearly deaf, added to his trouble. Heaviside's mother ran a school for girls, which he attended rather than attending the neighborhood school. This offered some protection from the influence of the local ruffians. Heaviside's hearing impairment made making friends difficult. However, his school results were rather good, and in 1865 he was placed fifth of 500 pupils. Despite being bright and a good student, by age 16 the socially awkward Heaviside had had enough of formal education and left school. Perhaps he was more disillusioned with school than with learning, since he continued to study after leaving school. In particular, he learned Morse code, studied electricity, and studied further languages, in particular Dutch and German. He was aiming at a career as a telegrapher, and in this he was advised and helped by his uncle Charles Wheatstone. In 1868, Heaviside went to Denmark and became a telegrapher. While working there, Heaviside noticed that signals from England to Denmark could be sent faster than those sent from Denmark to England. Those in the telegraph industry thought this was due to some strange and unknown property of the 347 nautical mile undersea cable which carried the messages. Heaviside wasn't so sure, and was able to show mathematically that if everything is identical on both ends of the cable, the maximum rate must be the same in both directions. He then showed again mathematically that any difference must be due to different resistance on each end. Simply put, the equipment in England had a lower electrical resistance and could push more current faster into the capacitance of the cable, and thus could send at a higher rate. He progressed more quickly in his profession, and then returned to England in 1871 to take up a post in Newcastle-on-Tyne in the office of the Great Northern Telegraph Company, which dealt with overseas traffic. Heaviside quit the cable company in May of 1874 at the age of 24 and returned to London to live with his parents. He never again had a regular job, but worked full-time on electrical issues. His brother Arthur provided financial support and collaborated on projects related to his engineering work, but for the next decade or more, Heaviside worked in almost complete isolation in his parents' spare room, pushing back the frontiers of electrical knowledge on his own. Heaviside became increasingly deaf as he worked on his own researches into electricity. While still working as the chief operator in Newcastle, he had published papers on electricity, the first one in 1872 and the second in 1873, which was of sufficient interest to the author James Maxwell, a noted Scottish mathematician, that he mentioned the results in the second edition of his theses on electricity and magnetism. From 1874, Heaviside continued to work on Maxwell's equations. Heaviside was able to greatly simplify Maxwell's 20 equations in 20 variables, replacing them with only 4 equations in 2 variables. Today, we call these Maxwell's equations, forgetting that they are in fact Heaviside's equations. Heaviside's results in electromagnetism, impressive as they were overshadowed by important methods in vector analysis which he had developed in his investigations. His operational calculus, developed between 1880 and 1887, caused much controversy. He introduced his operational calculus to enable him to solve the ordinary differential equations which came out of the theory of electrical circuits. In one paper, Heaviside gave for the first time the conditions necessary to transmit a signal without disruptions, but Heaviside dropped the idea, and it was patented in 1904 in the United States. Michael Pupin of Columbia University and George Campbell of ATT both read Heaviside's papers about using induction coils at interviews along a telephone line. Both Campbell and Pupin applied for a patent, which was awarded to Pupin in 1904. Edmund Whittaker rated Heaviside's operational calculus as one of the 3 most important discoveries of the late 19th century. In 1902, Heaviside predicted that there was a conducting layer in the atmosphere which allowed radio waves to follow the Earth's curvature. This layer in the atmosphere, the Heaviside layer, is named after him. Its existence was proven in 1923 when radio pulses were transmitted vertically upward and returning pulses from the reflected layer were received. At the climax of the musical Cats, chorus members sing about how Grisbella is rising up, 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 past Runcell House, up, 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 to the Heaviside layer. They are alluding to Heaviside's idea that there must be a conducting layer in the upper atmosphere, although I'm sure very few people in the audience catch the reference. He seemed to become more and more bitter as years went by. In 1909, Heaviside moved to Torquay, where he showed increasingly evidence of a persecution complex. His neighbors related stories of Heaviside as a strange and embittered hermit who replaced his furniture with granite blocks that stood about in bare rooms. Through these rooms he wandered, growing dirtier and dirtier, and becoming more and more unkept, with one exception. His nails were always exquisitely manicured and painted a glistening cherry pink. As an old man, Heaviside spent his final years comfortably, although his mental powers diminished. "I have become stupid as an owl," he once bluntly stated. Heaviside died at the age of 74 on the 3rd of February 1925 and was buried with his parents in a small grave in Torquay. So what can we learn from Oliver Heaviside? Overcoming adversity, including poverty and hearing disability, to create a complex systems of calculus seems something we can take away. Regardless of our own problems, it is clear that it is possible to overcome adversity and to learn. Not many people listening to this podcast will be living in Dickinson conditions of poverty, but even if you are, you can take heart in the fact that it is possible to overcome. But Heaviside never actually overcame poverty. He returned to it after leaving the telegraph company in order to focus on mathematics. He lived in poverty most of his life and in his later years on a small pension. For him, money wasn't the driving force. Knowledge and working on a topic he loved were more important. While many people study in order to get ahead or increase their monetary value in the workforce, it doesn't mean that it's required. Some people feel ashamed to tell others that they're studying a new language or advanced mathematics or whatever just for fun. They think they'll be looked down upon for not having a monetary reason for learning. Learning for no other reason than you want to is a good enough reason. In addition, Oliver Heaviside had help from family and friends, so getting external assistance from friends and family can be helpful when you're feeling alone or struggling with your studies. Oliver Heaviside worked as a telegraph operator, but his job didn't define him or his life's work. Many people confuse what they do for a living with their life, and it doesn't have to be the same thing. If you're a computer programmer but study beekeeping as a hobby, or vice versa, so be it. You should allow yourself to explore the roads that you want. Well, that's it for this week. I hope you found it helpful, or at least informative. If you enjoy the show, please give it a rating on the platform you're using to listen, and please share the podcast with friends and family who might be interested. Also, please feel free to email me at rick@autodidactic.info or leave feedback on the website at autodidactic.info.
Thank you for listening to the Autodidactic Podcast with your host, Rick Dearman. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider giving a donation via PayPal. Thank you very much, and see you again next time.